Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Make some noise for the Rangers boys. You're listening to the QPR Fan Show here on Love Sport. You're with me, Charlie Hawkins. I'm delighted to say, from the Ranger Things podcast, Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan. Great to have you in the studio. What a day to be in the studio, because we're coming off the back of Saturday's victory away to Stoke. 3 points in the bag. Some QPR fans predicted a loss, but it doesn't matter because Gareth, you predicted a win. I predicted a win. I've got the evidence. QPR off to a flyer. 3 points. Let's begin.
Happy days, really. I think the first away opening day win since 87 as well.
Oh, so stats as well 30, to kick it off.
32 years ago.
Most seasons we spend half the season thinking about when we're going to get our first away win. We've done it.
Opening day of the season.
Now what do we do?
Home win.
Push on. No, it's a good performance that went with the win as well. It wasn't just a fluke. We were well in control. We silenced the crowd very early on. Debut goal for Hugo. You could see what they've implemented pre-season, and it was a really pleasing afternoon up at the Potteries.
Well, Julian mentioned it there. You know, we normally wait, when are we going to get the first away win? But this sort of game ticks off a few things. Debut goal for Hugo, potentially goal of the month, early contender. We're going to get on to it. Yeah, season. So, right, let's not get ahead of ourselves. We've picked off a big championship scout. You know, not long ago, Stoke were in a premiership, even though they have fallen somewhat. They're on a demise. It was a big victory. The new players, you know, gelling together. There's chemistry. This is a good time to be a QPR fan. All right, we don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but
yeah, it's one game. Yeah. That's all I'll say, but yeah, it's good.
But it's
good
it's start. A lot better than what people were expecting, weren't they, Julian?
Yeah, I have to say I was a bit worried about 14 players playing together, because that would be extra three.
But,
but 14 gelling together, that we've been here before where we've cleared out the entire squad in one pre-season and then it's taken ages. So it's encouraging that, okay, again, it's only one game, but it's encouraging that they seem to be playing well in a system that they seem to know what they were doing. The second goal showed that. Passing was good. There seemed to be a tactic which they all knew. And you're right. I mean, when I saw Hugo score after 8 minutes, you're thinking, brilliant. Is he going to be? It was a bit of a sitter for him, but it doesn't matter. Goes in, gives him the confidence.
He still had to finish. He had three players around him, and it wasn't as easy as it looked, I don't think.
I don't know where
he had work to do.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, on Love Sport, I'll do the West Ham fan show. I say unfortunately because I'm sure you two don't listen, but tune in if they're on a Tuesday to West Ham fan show, and they all season have moaned about Jordan Hugo, saying we can't wait to get him off the books. He can't score. He don't know where the net is. He's not cut out. And I thought, well, let's give him a chance. Sign for QPR. One game, one goal. This is all that matters.
He did it for Preston, right? So he's done it in the Championship. Maybe in the Premiership, it's just too much.
I thought he's going to be the next Jeff Hurst. That's what the West Ham fans I knew were saying.
Fickle.
Indeed. No, he did well. He plays a certain way. He's a point player, as I said last week. And he got his goal, which is great. And he's going to be quite crucial to us, actually, because we've only got him and two young lads, one alone from Brighton. I can't say his name.
Malacca.
And Otte. So it looks like with no more strikers in, if Hugo stays fit, well, he's going to have to stay fit, really, for us to carry on that sort of success.
I know it was, Julian, you say, you know, not the hardest of shots. It was
goalkeeper to beat for a start.
All right, I was being generous. An easy tapping, but in the game sometimes, there's going to be games in the Championship where you might be under the cosh, you might, you know, you're not in control of the game. Sometimes it takes one opportunity. If he's going to be there, he's going to get it. This is what you want, don't you?
Yeah, he's right place, right time. He was there, he was hungry. We've probably had times before where someone would have seen Bright go down, then the keeper and just given up, turned around. So at least he was hungry and getting in the box. And it's just going to give him the confidence for the next game. So I think it's vital, because we really haven't had a goal scorer for a number of years, not since Charlie left.
Since Austin, yeah.
Yeah. So let's hope, you know, again, it's one goal. But, you know, it's a promising start. We couldn't ask for better. And I think it was a great team performance. And then Eze, for me, this is a really pinnacle season for him, because a lot of fans sort of lost a bit of faith in him. I didn't. We were big supporters of his. And the goal just sums up the way he plays for me, the style in which he just glided into the box past the defender and slotted it in. That's what we need to see more of him this season. And
an incredible goal. And, you know, not even to G it up, but it is one of those goals where you do sort of watch like a highlight reel. You keep watching, because he goes past the Stoke defender and it's almost like he's not there. Callister finishes 2-0 up, and it was almost, was it a pinch yourself moment a little bit? Because I know, Julian, you said, oh, when's we're going to get this away win? But, you know, you check the scores if you're not watching. It flashes up 2-0 away to Stoke. You see in the goal, you think, hang on, this is a bit like, I can't work out what's quite happening here.
Yeah, it was a bit of excitement, I must admit. I think me and Gav were running around listening to the game, as we do when we can't go. We run around his sofa about three times after that. We just couldn't believe it. But it was a really good team goal. You could see, that, you know, 9 passes, they implemented a style. But it's what you want to see from Easy, and it's what we need to see from Easy this season after... I think he was a bit unlucky last year. He had to play so many games. There was no other options. If he needs a break now, there's options there. So we see that more, I think, if he's fresher. I don't think he was fresh last year. I think he
This style of game, which Warburton reportedly is going to play, I think is going to suit his style more as well. And then also, if he's got Cameron in there, who's, you know, was much better as a sort of holding midfielder, going to give him a bit more space. So, I think he's going to enjoy playing in this team for this manager more than the previous one.
Yeah, I agree. And there's more competition now as well, not just the support to have a rest, but there's going to be players competing for those places. It's not a given. Last year, he almost walked into the side without kind of really earning it in some respects. And he was expected to do this week in, week out. He's still only a young lad. He's still not going to do that. But now there's players that can come in and give him that physical arrest, but also that kind of burden from the team that you're going to create stuff. There's players that can create as well now.
And we all know what goals can do for a player's confidence. Game one, he's got the goal. Can he kick on from here? But we just spoke then, QPR went 2-0 up. When Stoke pulled one back, was it, oh, here we go.
Yeah, definitely.
Was it like, oh, typical QPR, it's going to be 2-2 in a minute, or don't even please tell me, Gareth, you weren't doing it. They're going to do it, Stoke 3-2. I hope you weren't saying that.
Oh, no, I didn't go that far. It was when Lumley came out and missed that cross, that was the only time I thought, actually, but Stoke were very poor on the day, and
I think they're a poor side in general.
Yeah, I don't really. I think they had Ryan Wood sit on the bench, me and Julian were talking beforehand, after seeing him play so well at Brentford, particularly against QPR. To have a player of that quality on the bench and Jordan Cousins in there, who they got from us, trying to run the show, and some Stoke fans were like,
I love that you're standing up with a smile on your face, almost happy that he couldn't.
The fact that his academy managers brought him in to play centre midfield or DCM and dictate the game is just ridiculous.
And I couldn't believe the Stoke caller last week said that this guy, Cousins, is going to be crucial to their season.
I was thinking,
who sold him that dummy?
Yeah, a manager that kind of is putting a lot onto a player that we've seen at QPR that we know hasn't got the technical ability to play that role. And we've got Jeff Cameron in, who wasn't fit, has played a great pass for the first goal and has shored it up in there, made tackles. And you think, who's got the better deal? You know, and it is QPR on the evidence of that.
Yeah. Well, 14 new players in. All right, we maybe weren't hoping for the result. Yeah, more to come. Does it feel like they have bedded in quite quick? There has been a bit of chemistry. I know me and you spoke about it last week, Gareth, but we did mention last week that already Warburton's way, you said the reported style, Julian, it has already been being executed by this side already, aren't they? And they've sort of taken to the task.
I think they've worked and worked and worked on it, and I think they've been quite methodical about it. I think they're quite clinical about what they're doing. They know what they want to do, and if a player comes out of that team, there's a replacement for them. And it's quite simple. It's like when I was playing football, I couldn't do it, but I was told pass or move all the time. Pass or move. And the second goal with Easy, Cameron just pulls off like 2 yards, and Rangel's got the technical ability to knock it around the corner. Now, that was missing last year. We were trying to play that under McLaren, but didn't have the players that could technically do it. We've now got that, and they're committed to it, and they believe in it. I think that's the big thing. And they do seem to have gelled really, really quickly.
Well, it was a bit at the beginning, the signings were all ones that Warburton knew or had, which I thought, well, that's good because they know what to expect. But then I started to worry, was he only signing these players? And of course, they were 2 years older than when he had them last time. So that worried me a bit. But I think what it shows is that they know that style, they know that system, and he knows that they're going to play it too. Then he's kept some of the good ones that were doing well, like Bright and Easy. And then he's added a few that he didn't know, but he's bedded into the system very quickly. And then Hugo up front, which is, you know, you're a good target man to hit, and he's got good finishing.
And the back four can all play football. If you compare the likes of Manning to Bidwell,
it's a big difference.
Rangel to even Darnell Furlong, Leisner to Barbe, you know, Hall, I can't even remember who's the other centre half starting last year. But you can see the biggest part of that defensive unit, I think, is Lumley, who was crucial getting that second goal. They've obviously worked on him and say, you're going to be playing out. Don't just play kind of neutral passes. You've got to be looking to split players and get the defence out, midfield out. And he did that expertly for the second goal.
Well, you said you were celebrating by running around so far. Julian said, I'm not getting too excited yet. It's one game. But what is the general mood in the QPR fans camp then? What's the general consensus? Are fans getting a little bit, I know it's one game, but oh, well, maybe. No, not in a sense of we're going up, we're getting promoted, but in a sense of maybe it's going to be a better year than we first thought.
Yeah, I think you saw a lot of tweets and a lot of comments about 14 to 18 position. I think that's probably knocked up a few notches now to 12 to 16. I think we're realistic. We've had 4 years of pretty boring, sort of unstimulating 16th place. I think it's like 16, 17,
yeah,
something like that.
We yo-yo team in 16th and 17th. Yeah. That's what we yo-yo
so,
between.
So it's one game. We did this last year where we went those 3 games in a week. We got really excited. We're going to make the playoffs. And then it just fell apart. So we've learned, just hang on. It's just one game. But it's good. I agree with you. I don't think Stoke are that good. I mean, I was listening on the radio and they said three of the big scalps are losing at the moment when it was Fulham and Cardiff.
Fulham, yeah.
And then they said Stoke. And I thought, well, that's ridiculous. Where did they finish last season? It was something like 14th.
They've only had three wins since January. I think they're going off their Premier League pedigree rather than the actual side they are at the minute. But no discredit to QPR. Stoke is a very hard place to go and win, isn't it?
It always has been. Arsenal found out over the years in the All Premier right. League and stuff. Sorry, Charlie. Thought I'd drop it in there early. So it is a hard place to go. We did have a bit of success there last year, drew 2-2. And it was a bit of a happy hunting ground there. But it's never going to be an easy place to go. But it's sort of the place where the fans are so partisan that when they get behind them, they really are the 12th man. But when that negativity, which felt like it crept
looked
in,
empty. The stadium
it looked a bit empty. They're not behind Jones, really. They've had the season of transition. They've had Mark Hughes there, who's, you know, we know very well at QPR for all the wrong reasons. And it's going to take some time to get that team, the fans back on side with that team. And it wasn't there on Saturday. And you could see QPR's fans there. I think the 1,400 had travelled up. The kind of disbelief that came in excitement from not only the goals and the result, but also the performance
is probably the most
and that was huge.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there, because we know a culture in a dressing room, the atmosphere, you know, the environment around the team matters for on the pitch results. And QPR are entering a new dawn. It's very exciting. New manager, new players. Whereas Stoke, their sort of Premier League hangover just seems to be continuing. It just lingers on. It's like a cloud over him. Now the Shawcross injury. And I don't feel they're quite escaping that, are they? But for QPR, everything really, all right, we're not getting ahead of ourselves. We know I don't want to offend Julian just yet. But things are on the up, aren't they, really? The arrow is pointing up slightly, isn't it?
I didn't think we had anything to lose as well. Whereas pressure is completely off us this year, and we've got someone that kind of understands pressure of the league in Warburton. He knows what he wants. So I think that it's that, not just a blank canvas and a fresh start, but without that pressure, they've got that freedom that youngsters need to play and be creative and be expansive.
And the other critical bit, which is behind the scenes, is that we've signed this squad and we've cut the wage bill dramatically. I mean, we did that the previous season. We've done it again. We brought in a bit of money. So actually, you know, we're sorting the club out as well. Mm. And if this team that he's put together on a shoestring works, and it's got a bit of experience in there and it's got a bit of youth, actually it might finally, and again, it's only one game, but it might
Julian,
finally...
Julian, you're going to go against yourself here.
It might finally have started to pay dividends. And it's going to be... It feels like we've been hearing this for so many years. We need the building block. We've got to start going forward. It's going to change. And it hasn't. But, you know, green shoots of recovery there. Maybe this is the first time where it actually looks like it might come off.
Top half, 12th and above is great, and business off the pitch is great, and that's a good season for QPR.
Well, we're not getting too carried away here in the studio. We're not getting too excited. But next, we're going to be talking to Daniel Fowler, who may be getting a little bit more excited than us. Love Sport. You're listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined in the studio with the Ranger Things podcast, Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan, and also one other person. We're delighted to say we've got Daniel Fowler on the line talking a little bit about QPR. Daniel, we're not getting too excited here. It's only one victory, even if it was away to Stoke, 3 points in the bag. How are you feeling after Saturday's game?
Yeah, brilliant. No, it's probably not the voice or accent you hear from a QPR fan. But...
I thought I dialed the wrong number, Daniel. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, Yeah, Sheffield born and bred. It's my dad's fault, really. They were decent when he were a kid, so I'm just bearing the brunt of it now, really. But yeah, but yeah, feeling good after Saturday. Yeah, absolutely a terrific performance, really. Even though, obviously, in true QPR style, nearly snatching a draw from the jaws of victory towards the end. But yeah, feeling good, and yeah, I've just finished watching the Eze goal for about the 1,000th time, I think. So.
It's pretty watchable, isn't it, Daniel? What was your, aside from the result, what was the most pleasing aspect for you about Saturday?
I think it's having, just from the defence upwards, actually being able to pass the ball to blue and white hooped players. I mean, it's like playing under, like under McLaren, but having the likes of Barbain and playing Manning at where Bidwell was, it's just the case that there's so much more confidence and a bit more urgency as well. I think going forward, we're a lot more better than what we were, and I think it's only just going to get better. But like you said, just got to keep his feet on the ground, and I'm sure Warburton will be doing that with the players.
And you mentioned Eze's goal there, and you know, he was a bit much maligned last season. There was a lot of hope and expectation for him, and he might not reach that peaks for many reasons. What did you see much difference between his display on Saturday compared to last year?
Yeah, so I didn't go to the game myself and watching it, listening to it from afar, but from what I heard, it just seems that a new manager can bring that out in a player, especially a young player as well, because he was very hit and miss last year. So it's all about confidence, really, with him. If he's going to be, don't want to put him in the same bracket as, say, an Abel Terrat, but as one player that like just has that attacking freedom, he might not track back, but he may do. But if he doesn't, then as long as he provides up front, then that's exactly what we need, really.
And of the signings, all 14 of them, which one's exciting you the most? Who are you looking at and thinking, you know, I've been impressed, or I'm impressed?
Well,
on the highlights?
After pre-season, I mean, there were quite a lot of stick, I think, from Brentford fans after Lysan Pontus-Janssen and we side Dominic Ball. But he's been from pre-season, he's looked solid, really. Obviously playing in midfield, but also can play at centre half as well. There's him as well, but there's just so many layers. A good mix of youth and experience, like bringing Cameron and Rangel back. Both did a decent job last year as well. Showed it again on Saturday as well.
A lot of people seem to think Amos has been, you know, is an important part of a great signing. Obviously, broke into the Spurs team last year and then got injured. I don't know if you've seen any of him in pre-season, but from what I've been reading, a lot of people are quite excited about him. The only sad thing, of course, is he's not our player. He's on loan.
Yeah, I think it's the same for Matt Smith, really, as well, who's the other Matt Smith, I should have said now, but he played quite a bit at 20 as well. So there's two players there, just young and eager, and that's what you need as well. I mean, with Jeff Cameron in there as well, it's an experienced head alongside him. I think it's going to be a decent, hopefully a decent season for Scowen as well. I hope he can push on now as well.
Yeah, I thought after watching the game that Scowen was probably our kind of poorest player on the day. He missed a couple of chances. He did his dancing round on his yellow card and flying into tackles as he usually does. If anywhere, with less than a day really to go to the transfer with deadline, is there any gaps that we should be looking to fill within the squad still, wherever the weak points we have?
Yeah, I think having Ugel up front, it's a good one. I don't know how much he's thinking of playing Ote and Ilias Chair off the bench as well. I know Bright can play a bit up front as well, but I think he's found his place on the wing there. I don't know whether he will want to get another one in, because it's all the talk's been about Scott McKenna, really, from Aberdeen. I mean, possibly going to Forest. I know Aberdeen aren't looking to let him go, but it's another one that Warburton's had his eye on, so maybe he's just looking to fill another defensive spot and see where he goes from there.
Daniel, just quickly, we were talking about, you know, expectations for the season. Before this game, we were saying, let's just find our feet. 14 new players, as you mentioned, new manager. We know what a win does. It's like we get carried away with things. We start maybe looking up and not looking around us. Have you sort of changed your perception? Are you feeling that maybe this could be a better year?
Oh, sorry, I didn't quite hear that. Sorry about that. I don't know if it cut out a little bit. Sorry.
No worries, Daniel. I'm going to word it much shorter. Are you expecting a much better year for QPR after back of Saturday's win?
It's a case that, I mean, say, watch the Huddersfield game yesterday. It's another game where you think, I think we might be able to do Leeds. So it's something that's not really, confidence haven't really been among the fans really throughout the past few seasons, as you were saying before I came on air. So with the youth that we have on the bench, such as Chair as well, who had a great season at Stevenage, maybe he can come forward as well and make an impact off the bench. So yeah, there's a lot of confidence, I think. It's just, like you say, keeping feet on the ground, both in the stands and on the pitch as well. But yeah, quietly confident and excited.
And thinking about players that might be leaving, Luongo and Leisner might be leaving in full-time permanently. Sad to see them go. Right decision to let them go.
Gav will be personally driving Luongo out the gates because he's not
Yeah, I know. It's I've always been a bit of a fan, really. This has always been a bit of a, just like a buzz around the midfield. With Tony, obviously, he had the captaincy under McLaren. And it was solid, but like you said, with Lynch as well, but just a bit, can be a bit error prone as well. I guess with Warburton, he's wanting to try and just bring his own men in. I mean, he's done all right with that, really, with the amount of signings he's brought in. So, yeah, it's a case that, it's sad to see him go, but if we do leave, then it's looking all right with the squad. So we'll just have to see how it goes, really.
Daniel, we really appreciate you joining us tonight. I'm sure we'll speak to you later in the season. Daniel Fowler there, QPR fan from Barnsley, Huddersfield, Sheffield. It wasn't what I was expecting. I got worried. Sheffield. I thought, we've got the Huddersfield. Yeah, I know, Sheffield. I mean, but we've got the Huddersfield fan on. I thought, what's happened here?
It was a bit of a shock, wasn't it?
But he supports the R's.
Good lad.
He knows where his bread's buttered.
It's very rare that you sit in our stadium and hear a accent outside of London supporting QPR.
But the weird thing was, in the studio, you can't obviously see it. A visual aid, all three of us went,
yeah,
it was really strange. Like, eyebrows up. Very strange. But Daniel, really good to have him on the line there. Just want to quickly ask you two a question. The producer for this show, Stevenage fan, he's straight in my ear when you two were talking there. Amos, we taught him everything at Stevenage. At Stevenage.
Freeman, well, Amos.
Freeman.
Last season we were doing the same chair to him.
I'll be honest, I want us all to be friends here. His second thing, I'm going to drop him in it now, he's put QPR at Stevenage reserves. Dangerous territory.
Yeah. It is. I think how many goal of the season competitions can our youth players have for you? It was.
Freeman got one.
Yeah, Chair got one.
I'm not sure about Stevenage reserves because Stevenage did go down 2-0 to South City in their first game ever in the Football League this weekend in League Two.
David Beckham there?
Was he watching last 92?
The mighty Salford.
Scholes he was. But anyway, we are talking QPR there. We mentioned it, 2-1, you beat Stoke. You've got another team, Huddersfield, this weekend, who've not, you know, they've just come down from the Premier League. Stoke not long themselves. Another Premier League team with Premier League pedigree. If you go and beat them, then things become like, well, the two teams we've beat, and this changes things because Huddersfield, we mentioned it, Julian, they're not great. They're sort of, they have the hangover, the Premier League hangover. They just lost to Derby 2-1, you won 2-1. Could we see another result like this on Saturday?
Yeah, you can. You definitely could. But I think you have to wait about 6-7 games before you really know how it's bedding in. Do you remember this time last year we had the Sheffield United guy on going, oh dear, we just lost 3-0 to Middlesbrough.
Oh yeah, and they won the league.
I think we're going to lose to you tomorrow night. We're awful. And they went and got promoted. So
What can you predict now? I think that the only thing to take from Huddersfield's loss last night was how good Tom Lawrence was for Derby. Like, he was the difference between the sides. Yeah. Technically, he was a class above. His goals were good. And Huddersfield didn't really have a response to it. And we haven't got a player like that. We mentioned Adel Tarabd earlier. Those sort of players in the Championship, you know, far and few between, those game changers like that. And that's what, I don't see any of our players at that Tom Lawrence level yet. Hopefully they can get there, but there's more potential rather than actual what they're achieving right now. So Huddersfield won't have to contend with that in some respect on Saturday, but they'll have to contend with like the likes of Bright, who was phenomenal on Saturday, a different type of threat and a different type of kind of like D'Artagnan kind of like play free and just whatever and run around and do what you want type thing in a system. So it'll be a different threat for Huddersfield, but I didn't see too much to worry me in the game against Derby last night.
Their manager's going to be under some serious pressure, right? Because he came in, didn't do very well after he took over from the prior manager who was well loved there.
Yeah, Wagner.
When he left. So, you know, they'll be expecting to bounce back just naturally because you've been been relegated. But then this manager's gone.
What's he done?
Himself.
Yeah.
And I saw him walking off the pitch at the end of that game, and he did look a worried man.
Yeah.
That's why I say it. Because as fans, when you win, you don't want to get carried away. But as fans, we do it when we lose. When it's one game, we're like, oh, well, this is it. This is going to be terrible. Oh, the pressure's already on the manager. It's one game. Scott Parker come out, Fulham, he said, look, we're going to be all right. We're going to be all right. It's one game. But you feel that managers have to answer these questions after one game already, don't you?
It's a tough league to play in, to manage in, whatever. If you haven't got that experience, look at Warnock. You know, he's got up for
his
experience.
That's why Wayne Rooney's coming. Welcome into the championship.
But apparently, just on that quickly, he's coming as a coach. Mm. And so as his coaching salary doesn't go towards, well, it's not FFP now, is it? It's a sustainable financial planning.
Is
it whatever
going to pay off the rest of the stadium?
A nice little curve, yeah.
So it's like...
Loophole Central
is this a new way? We've just signed 14 coaches.
It's crazy. Well, that's what someone was saying.
Assistant managers.
Just put the cones out and just put, go.
What's all these ringers?
Yeah, exactly. These coaches are pretty good, aren't they? But yeah, so it's a weird one.
Yeah, with that Wayne Rooney story, I don't know how I feel about it. He is coming to the Championship. It's great for the Championship. I think the Championship's a brilliant league, very tough. He is coming there. We know the names that have come to Derby. But he said, I've came to Derby to learn coaching, but also to join Philip Cocu. I just thought to myself, is there an element? We don't even know that Philip Cocu's going to be there in January, because we know in the Championship, Derby go on a losing run.
Yeah,
could he go out and then Wayne Rooney's in at the light
Lampard? Does Wayne Rooney know who Philip Cocu is?
I'm sure he does. What are you saying? He's not intelligent, really? Is that what you're saying?
Julian, please, come on.
Waghorn or Rooney, you know what I mean? No offence to Martin Waghorn, but you're going to have Wayne Rooney holding the ball up there rather than Martin Waghorn. But yeah, I'd rather, I was going to say to Daniel, actually, would you rather be the likes of QPR previous, bringing in the likes of Rooney, these Hollywood signings, that do they really want to be at clubs like that, honestly? Or would you rather do what we're doing now? And because this FFP, which is not now called, is going to bite people really hard if they don't go up.
Massively.
So we're going to be in the driving seat. Not that we're going to start thrashing the cash around, because we haven't got it in terms of stadium and business income. But we're not going to be in an awful situation if we do manage to build this season.
And also, you both mentioned it earlier in the show. Any success you do have, you know you've not gone crazy overload on the books. It's with the team that are here. We're all in the restrictions. Whereas if other teams have success, it will bite them later in the years, because they've gone mad this year and they're going to then have to try and balance their books, and it's only sort of going to, there's going to be a pitfall, a trap door almost, isn't there, Julian?
Yeah, it's a bit like, you know, it always feels like when a new government gets in, they do all these cuts when they first get in.
Oh, politics on the first show back.
Politics.
And then there's scrabbling around in the next
two. I thought you got Johnson
in.
Now. You're happy. We'll talk about it.
I have not.
Right. Well, let's sidestep that. We have been talking about QPR's game one. We've been speaking to Daniel Fowler. Next, we're going to be having a little look ahead towards Huddersfield and Bristol City.
This is Love Sport.
You're listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. I've been joined by the boys from the Ranger Things podcast, Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan. We've been talking a little bit about that fantastic first win of the Championship season. We've been speaking to Daniel Fowler. A little while's time, we're going to be talking to Mark Lillis, ex-Huddersfield striker, giving us the opposing fans' view. We have got the games come thick and fast in the Championship and the League Cup, obviously. We've got Bristol City twice, Huddersfield, we know that. And also the transfer window, under 48 hours to go. We've already signed 14 players. Could there be more? I just want to quickly ask you, there has been a big influx of players in. Could we see any more players going out?
Yeah, two we reckon is going. Luongo and Leisner are the two we think are on the way out. Well,
Leisner will only go if we get either the lad from McKenna.
Bates or McKenna.
Sounds like a weird butchers or something, doesn't it?
Sounds like detective
Bates
duo.
Bates and McKenna
on the case.
That was a new feature. What do they find? So if we only get one of them in, that's Leicester. Well, Leicester will stay. He's a big lad, but he's a big pay packet sitting on the bench every week, which
I think he's going to feel a little bit unwanted if he
is
stays, because he's kind of been
I'm sure his bank balance won't.
No, I'm sure he won't. But
you know, the worst places to sit in, you know, it's the worst cities to come and play your football and sit around. And
but there were rumours that his family haven't settled and they're a bit homesick too. So I think what I've read is that he's quite keen to go back to Germany, and he obviously doesn't play the football style that Warburton wants. He's not a man that plays it on the floor.
But he came on Saturday when it's like just head it and kick it, which is great, which he will do, which is his only assets really. But I think Poulter was the same, and he didn't really settle in England and London to go back as well. And I think they're really good friends, for what I know. But it wasn't for the want to try, and he was at the the special school next to QPR last year. He bought, paid for all the Christmas presents for the kids, licenses. So
he was
trying to embed himself in it. So it's a shame to see if he hasn't settled.
I heard it was his wife rather than him.
Oh, really?
That's what I read. Okay. But who knows? That's true.
But it'd be interesting about.
They always use that one, whether it's true or not, don't they? It's a great get out for a player. If it is or isn't true, they got the wife, the kids, you know, they don't want to be at the weather.
Yeah. It's Julian's excuse normally. Let's be honest.
The kids, the wife, or the weather?
Which,
I'm gonna have to get used to this over the course of the season then, am I?
Definitely, if he's here, you know, depends what the wife
Julian,
is.
Julian,
my kids are in charge in the house. Yeah. Don't worry.
I hope it's not just once a month show with you, Julian.
Oh, hello. now we're getting very low.
Yeah. Sound like his wife.
What has happened here? I do not know.
But yeah, other players going out could be some of the youngsters, like Chair, we mentioned. Stephen is legend, as the producer knows.
He's not going back to Stevenage, though, surely.
He literally just threw both arms in the air. It's ridiculous.
That's what he did after his 8th goal of the season.
Surely he's going to Wickham, isn't that where we send everyone?
I know, yeah. Well, they're League One anyway. Stevenage, are they still League Two?
League Two.
But, so there's a few others as well, like Ozzie Kakai, who's obviously slipped right off the radar, who was a starting right back for us last season. Yeah. I think he started against Preston, who's definitely West Brom, because I was there and that was painful. And he was definitely out of his depth. Charlie Owens as well, young centre mid. There's players, and I don't know, with the new rules, can these guys go out on loan after the deadline?
No, I think that's it, isn't it?
Is that it now?
That's it now, yeah.
Unless they disguise themselves as keepers and it's an emergency thing. But I think those sort of players will have to go and get for Otte. Someone mentioned Otte earlier. He can't sit around for another season with his potential. We went to Warsaw. It was probably the worst loan move out of all our players. So there's a few that could leave that just won't have any game time, and it's no good for them playing 23s.
This window thing, I don't really like it, because
the earlier window,
for Championship, it's a disaster, because you look at these. So, I mean, look at Brentford. They're now having to run around trying to replace Mappe. But okay, imagine if that happened on deadline day.
Sympathy for Brentford on the QPR show.
It's just a good example of someone who sold their best player. You've got no chance to get someone in. Now, of course, they've probably known about it and they've been planning for it. But something like this is going to happen to some team. You know, suddenly an offer that's going to come in.
You're seeing it with Maguire and Leicester, aren't you? You're seeing it with Zaha, they don't want to let him go. And the dominoes fall. But then, fans, you're left with 2 days to scramble around. And this is where, notoriously, we see the panic and desperate buyers, don't we?
And so the loan market used to be this great thing. And then if that happened, as we saw last year, it didn't start so well. You've at least got a month to think, actually, we didn't quite get it right. Let's now try and get it. And similarly, there are players who are going to realise, shit, I'm going to be sitting on... Excuse me. I'm going to be sitting on the bench for the next month.
Rusty.
You definitely needed a bigger pre-season.
I know.
Your match fitness and sharpness is shocking. We're talking players coming out from QPR, players coming in. Let's talk a little bit about them, players coming in. Believe it or not, because we've had 14, there could still be more. And one of the big stories is, this is how big QPR really are. They've had a win. I feel like there's been quite a bit of media this week. And now, one of the top stories, Scott McKenna, you know, Don says throwing his toys at the pram, hands in transfer request. Could be on the way from Aberdeen. A few clubs are rumoured to be in for him, but one of the ones leading the way apparently is QPR. How do we feel about this?
Yeah, yeah.
Great.
I better talk in case you swear again.
7 million it's supposedly now, though. That's
I think we've gone in for him. We've speculatively tried to get him in for small money, or not small money, big money for us and some money for them, because they turned down a £6.5 million, I think, Villa bid last year. But he's not in our price range, really. If Celtic and Villa come in for him, even Forest, they're going to smash us out of the water. I think we've just tried to sneak in there early, unsettle him, get him for 3 million with add-ons, but it hasn't worked. So that one, I think, can't see that happening. I think he looks a bit above us, really.
Gareth, take off your QPR hat for 1 minute.
Yeah,
genuinely.
Take it off.
Are QPR a bigger proposition than Nottingham Forest? Because at the minute, Nottingham Forest have their own struggles. They're not lifting up any trees in the Championship. Would you really want to go
there? Tricky trees.
Hello. Hey. Thank you for noticing. Checks in the post.
No worries.
But really... QPR London, I don't know if Nottingham Forest is a bigger proposition than QPR at this minute. Try not to be biased to that answer.
No, I mean, I'd be as... what's the word?
Nottingham's a nice city.
I think that Forest is still a big lure to players. It's a big ground, big history. The money they're going to spend on wages is bigger than QPR. So I would probably put them We lost Jack Robinson to them, you know, who could have, potentially could have stayed, but I think wanted to go back up north. But
wages as well.
And they had like 6.5 there. So it's if McKenna wants to play football, he's not guaranteed that for us, because the manager could be gone. You know, that's like a QPR kind of basket case situation. Whereas QPR, you look at actually there's stability. There's a manager in there. There's Les Ferdinand, Chris Ramsey. There's people there that you can kind of vouch for now, and they're going to be there for hopefully the long term. Whereas Forrest just doesn't seem to be. So maybe that's
this
the
is
thing.
What I meant in that
maybe
sense.
Maybe that sense.
There's not a lot of security and stability there. I find with Forrest at the minute.
It hasn't been for a long time since Brian Clough. I don't think, you know.
So it was a long time. I don't know what that impression was. We should have done that.
I don't know.
As well.
No, keep that. No commission in my post. But yeah, so I don't know. McKenna's probably out of our reach, and this Bates I don't know nothing about, but he's gone to Hamburg from Rangers.
But again, Warburton knows him as well.
Yeah, he had him at Rangers.
So he's going to play the system. You'd think that he must be attracted to Warburton's style of play if he's thinking about coming.
Clough from Middlesbrough. I thought that was quite a good impression. There we go.
He's come back to the impression. It wasn't great. We're going to move on from it.
Have you dumped it?
I'm going to have a small word with him in a minute just to say that no more impressions moving forward. Next up, we're speaking to Mark Lillis, ex-Huddersfield striker, who now, after earlier, I'm expecting him to do a Cockney accent. Love Sport. You're listening to the QPR Fan Show on Love Sport with me, Charlie Hawkins, and I've been joined by Gareth Dixon and Julian Monaghan from Ranger Things podcast. And I'm delighted to say we've also got Mark Lillis on the phone, ex-Huddersfield striker. Mark, big victory for QPR this weekend. 3 points in the bag. Not so fortunate for Huddersfield going down to Derby last night, 2-1, same scoreline. What can we expect in this weekend's game?
A lot, actually, because obviously that's a fantastic result. QPR got a Stoke. You know, people were expecting them to go there and maybe get a draw. But coming away with a win, I think that's put a marker down for the QPR this season, even though it's only the first game. And Huddersfield, you know, they'll be analysing, you know, what went wrong. And you had a couple of chances second half, which, you know, they go in, you get the momentum and maybe go on and win the game. So I think it's been a good game. QPR will be looking to get a result on the first home game of the season. And Huddersfield, obviously their first away game, you know, they'll be looking at trying to put it right and getting a result.
Yeah, we were talking earlier about Jan Siewert and the fact that he's probably under a bit of pressure already after that result. What's your view? What's your take? And what do you think the fans feel of him as a manager?
I think it's 50-50 too, sure, or maybe less, because, you know, I think they've got to give him, you know, a good few games, because he came into the club, obviously, in the Premiership. He got relegated, but he'll know the club now. You know the club is when you go in as a head coach or a manager, and you've got, you know, a good few months to get to know the club and the people around you and you know, the club itself. You know, and then you set off the new season. You want to set off with a win, and obviously I seen his interview, he was disappointed. But I thought Derby first half were excellent, and the two goals Lawrence got was unbelievable. But no, I think it's too early now. I mean, the modern day now, you know, after a game or two games, you could be out of work. But no, I think Huddersfield are trying to get stability again, because obviously they lost David, and I think Jan will be given a good chance.
What do you think of the squad at the moment, Mark, at Huddersfield? Because I was watching the game last night, and it seemed to be players that haven't proved themselves yet, that have come in the Premier League years with some kind of stalwarts that you've brought in, like Tommy Elphick and obviously Jonathan Hogg, who's been there a while, and then Grant up front, who's now a big hope, I suppose, for you guys. Do you think it's the right mix of players he's got down there, or is it a bit kind of disconnected as well?
No, I wouldn't say it's disconnected. I think obviously he wants to pace formation. The second half showing how they pressed high and that. Obviously, Oggie, when I was there as caretaker manager, Oggie was fantastic pro. And Tommy's come in and, you know, he made a mistake, but he's mostly tried that over the years and it's come off. And he's tried it, obviously, last night and it didn't come off. But no, I think, you know, sometimes they've got some good young players coming through as well, which I'm hoping that, they get a chance. But no, I think, you know, they should know each other by now. You know, you've had a good pre-season under the belt. When you're at a football club, when you're a footballer, you know, every day, morning, afternoon, you see your teammates and you see your staff. So you're getting to know everyone. And also you go off on tour, so you're getting a bonding with everyone. So you should come back, and then once you start the season, everyone should know what the strengths are and what not the strengths are. So, no, I think, you know, he'll know that. He'll know his best 11, and sometimes you put your best 11 out, but he must be looked at it, and maybe Saturday he might change something because you've got to be adaptable now in the modern game. You know, you've got to be adaptable. It's so important that. And I think, you know, he might try that on Saturday at QPR.
Mark, we were talking a little earlier about QPR's victory over Stoke, and we're saying that at the minute there's a great feeling around QPR, new manager, new dawn. Maybe at Stoke there's still a bit of a Premier League hangover, even though it's their second season back in the Championship. Huddersfield have just gone down. Is there sort of still this cloud that lingers over Huddersfield, sort of an ill feeling around the club? Not maybe ill feeling within the fans, but they still haven't quite got over relegation and the fact that they have been planned so poorly.
Yeah, I think the fans at the moment are, you know, they want the season, they want a successful season, and the fans, when I played there obviously the 70s and 80s, they were fantastic, and they still are, you know, make some hell of a noise, and the atmosphere is fantastic. Well, actually, they are when they're flying at Loftus. It's a great atmosure, and it's a pleasure to play for clubs like that. So. No, I think obviously Stoke are struggling badly. They've not got over, you know, going down into the Championship. Huddersfield, you know, they want to try and get back up there, and you know, it's a challenge. But sometimes when you come down, you know, you're there to be shot at in the, you know, some of the smaller clubs in the Championship. You know, we'll be after teams that have come down. You know, the Cardiffs and Huddersfields and that. So I think the fans will definitely stay behind them. You know, that's 100%. I mean, I live in the town, I live in Huddersfield, and, you know, obviously we speak to a lot of people, and a lot of fans ask me questions. And, no, they're fully 100% behind the team. And at Huddersfield, if your team's having a right goal and they don't give up, well, then they'll accept that.
Yeah, and obviously we signed 14 players, so we're not really sure where our strengths lie and our weaknesses may be. But this team you know quite well. So where do you think the threat's going to come from on Saturday for QPR? Who should we be looking out for and trying to counter?
Well, I don't know. I mean, at the moment, the way they played, you know, that was the first time I've seen them last night on the TV. So I thought the wide men, I thought the fullbacks were getting forward well. Midfield player, I forgot his name now, big tall boy. He's not bad. Hoggy's in there, but no, you know. I know Mark Warburton, he'll be doing his own work now. He'll be analysing now, like they do now in the modern day. They'll be looking at the strengths that Huddersfield have got, null them out, and then looking at the weaknesses and try and play on that. I thought Derby, first half, especially last night, you know, found areas, you know, little pockets of space where they had good players that can get in that. And I think I've seen the second goal for QPR on Saturday. The boy picked the ball up and he made a fantastic run, scored a great goal. So I think Huddersfield, like I said, I'll come and have a go. You know, they're not going to come and sit behind. You don't. It's the second game of the season. You know, it's still 45 games to go. So they ain't going to come back and park the bus at QPR. They'll have a go.
Mark, still 45 games to go then, but what are Huddersfield's expectations this season? Is it really just to bounce straight back, push on, or will it take a little time to find their feet in the Championship again?
I don't think you can wait like that. I think, you know, obviously they've got obviously Dean Oyles left the club and they've got a new chairman in. And, you know, he's a winner. He'll want them to be up there. You know, I would think they'll be, I mean, I don't know, I've been left the club now 2.5 years, 3 years. So I think he'll want, you know, to be looking to try and get top six, you know, and try and get up. You've got to go for it. You know, they've done it before. It's achievable because they've proved that they've done it. And there's players in that squad that have achieved playing in the Premiership. So, you know, time will tell. Like I said, it's 45 games to still go. But, you know, time will tell.
Well, different fortunes for both teams last weekend in the opening game of the Championship, Mark. But just quickly, what is your score prediction for this weekend?
Well, what a good question that is. on a Tuesday night.
On a QPR fan show, so be careful.
Yeah, I know. I was only looking through my books, and we played QPR in 1982-83 in the FA Cup at home at Huddersfield, and I scored the winner, which I'm quite happy with, but I don't really want to say that now.
You just did.
I don't think there'll be a lot of people that went and watched that. Yeah, it was in the FA Cup, but I know. But No, I think it's going to be a tough game for Huddersfield. I'm going to go with a 1-1.
1-1, all right.
We'll take that.
I'll sit on the fence, guys.
Sit on the fence. Mark, just be careful, Splinters. Really good to have you on. We'll sure
I know,
speak to
I'll
you soon.
I'll take him out. Get my missus to take him out.
Cheers, Mark. Appreciate that, mate. Mark Lillis there, ex-Huddersfield striker. Playing it safe, 1-1. Yeah. Fair result, maybe. We'll see. But QPR back at home, first time game of the season. What do you two think?
I've got 1-1 as well down. So
Well, you had QPR losing 2-0 last weekend, Julian.
Don't
so let's see
him.
What.
Yeah, but this boy finished bottom of our league table last
prediction
year.
Prediction league, yeah.
It's a new season. He thought we were top.
He thought we were going to win every week. So.
The football league's upside down, as they say.
Someone's got to believe.
Yeah, exactly. There's got to be one optimist out of
the
three of us.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on.
Exactly. There we go. Best pod name, apparently, Julian.
Yeah.
It's Mark's right, though. It could go either way. It's a 1-0 wouldn't be out of whack with what you've seen so far. You know, if we go get our noses in front, then, which we did on Saturday, we've got something to defend at home. The hope's going to be high and the optimism's going to be higher than it was last season for the first home game. I don't know what to call this one, though. I could see a draw as well.
I'm going QPR score win.
Oof, there we go. That's positive.
Well, what score win? Come on.
You got to be.
I was going to go for 2-1 again, the same scoreline, but I think possibly there could be more goals. I think it could be 2-1 or 3-2, but I'm thinking QPR get the 3 points again.
There we go. Wow.
Can you name the scorers?
The minutes? The wind direction?
I'm going to say Hugo gets two.
Oh, blimey. He's having a
Jeff
great
first.
Start.
Jeff first with two. Great.
3-2 for QPR.
There we go.
Yeah. No, I really think, I'm not just saying it, but I think listen, every game in the Championship's tough, but I think you've started well and you're playing teams that there's no easy team to play or no easy time to play them. But Stoke and Huddersfield, they're not going into the season with tremendous amounts of confidence. It's the right time to play them.
Yeah, I think, you know, Huddersfield come down, you know, they got battered last season alongside Fulham in the Premier League. It's, you know, it's the toughest league in the world in that respect for those sort of sides, as we found out as well. And you develop a kind of, we're used
losing.
To losing.
Yeah, it gets under your skin, doesn't it?
It does. It becomes part of the club and it's hard to shake. West Brom found it last season as well. You can't just shake that off like a bad case of fleas and then
this is the thing with Stoke and Huddersfield. They can't. They
What's
can't.
A bad case of fleas look like?
It's a little bit worse than a normal case.
It's a severe case.
Depends what night out I've had.
We've covered it all on this show. Politics, nights out,
that's
bad
what we do.
Cases
We've only
of fleas.
Got an hour.
This is what the Ranger Things boys do.
Exactly. We only have 15 minutes, but anyway, that's another story.
Well, we could be celebrating another 3 points, but we have. Let's take an even more advanced look then, because you have got Bristol City twice, once in the league and once in the League Cup.
We'll definitely lose the League Cup because we're always at home and we always lose.
We didn't last year. We lost to Blackpool away in the third round.
Well, who did we lose?
Cousins got sent off.
Did we win the first game?
Oh, yeah, we won the first two. No, they don't. You don't lose and you go through, Julian.
This is new wave.
This is definitely. You pre-season is awful.
who
have you been listening to?
I so can't remember last season who we beat.
He's watching cricket,
Cup.
Charlie. That's the problem.
Oh,
it's
no.
Longer to think.
Well, we need a DRS
there.
On this
exactly.
Because we're going to have to definitely give you a test, Julian.
Yeah, no, we got to the final, but we didn't win a game. And I swore at every result. But yeah, no, it was. I can't remember who played first.
Exactly.
Bristol Rovers.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe. I don't know. Someone's going to own game and won't Bristol Rovers. It'll be my mum. Mum, it was Bristol Rovers.
Anyway, we'll
Northampton.
We'll lose at home to Bristol City.
I always find it weird, though, when you play the team in a cup and then 3 days later you play them again in a league. Because it really affects the league game, don't it, I find?
Well, I thought it would have been seeded in the first round. I thought you didn't play.
It's not tennis.
No, it used to be...
In the League Cup?
Yeah, used
well,
to play...
Well, the bottom team in the Premier League, Huddersfield, last year, they're in it, but Fulham aren't because they didn't finish bottom. So, were the teams... How many teams are into Fulham aren't in this
so
round
it used
of the
to be
League
North
Cup.
And South, the draw.
Right,
You couldn't be like Plymouth playing Carlisle on a Tuesday night. It would be a Southern, then it would be seeded as well. So, there would be teams that you couldn't play, but that seems to have gone out the window this year.
Yeah.
Seems to be like...
I think that's gone out.
That's
no,
wild.
It's not. So you forgot about the...
North-South wasn't around last year, the year
was.
Before. No.
It was.
No,
I've
been gone
bet.
For a while.
I'll bet you're
you
Chinese.
Sure
I'll bet you a case of bad fleas.
I'll bet you
are you sure that was the League Cup or another cup? Like Johnston's paint trophy.
Zenith Data Systems. No, yeah. Definitely the League Cup.
No, I think you've got that wrong.
Right, there was at one point there was seeding, but that was some time ago.
No, it wasn't. Julian, you're getting old, mate. You forget things quite
well,
easily.
Gareth and Julian, they're not happy tonight. They're splitting up. Happy. We're all meant to be friends. QPR winning. I thought this was this
not
show.
Not potty mouth Monaghan.
Wiki
potty
mouth
Monaghan. It was the first ever swear we've had on the show.
No. You're on a yellow. And the thing is, Julian, now we've got VAR audio, so we'll go back and have a look.
You're on a blue card, you are. You're on a Jim Davidson.
Are you joining us next week, Julian?
Should be.
Right, yeah. Should be. Who
after
gives
the
you the
sheds.
Go ahead, Gareth?
I got off permission.
The wife. I'm not the wife.
Well, because when do QPR play then next week? Is it Tuesday or Wednesday?
Tuesday.
Saturday. We're not here. We're not here Tuesday.
We're not here.
We've got to change the
you
night.
Just said you was here next week. You've lied to me.
Can we Skype?
When it's on. Just
right, so
day.
What are we doing here next week? The QPR thing, the range of things, boys.
I don't know.
Well, hopefully we'll see them either next week, we'll change it, or the week after. Either way, big game against Huddersfield. Come on the R's.
Yes.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
Thank you.